Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verses 1 through 16, Psalm 119. Thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the ways you counsel us. You empower us. You guide us. You strengthen us. You edify us. You set us on fire afresh through the Holy Spirit as we spend time with you one-on-one in your word. More and more with every passing day, help us to fall in love afresh with you and your word, and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to grow in our understanding of the treasure that we find in your word and the blessings that are ours as we spend time with you in your precious word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As always, it's a privilege and a blessing to have you listening. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to take a moment now to pray for the broadcast today as well.
Father, we come to you, and we have great confidence that in your sovereignty, you've gathered a group of people today to hear what Pastor Joseph has to say, to hear what your word has to say. And Father, we don't think that anybody's here by accident, whether it's the person who's faithfully turns on the radio to hear the program, or the person that's just scanning down the dial and has stopped here at this position on the dial. God, would you speak in a mighty way to hearts today for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Again, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We continue to remind you about our upcoming AFA Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020. The dates are June the 25th through the 27th here in Tupelo, Mississippi. This conference will provide practical training and ministry encouragement for Christians endeavoring to live out their faith in their marriages and in their families as well in the midst of a hostile culture. The theme for this year is In Defense of Truth. Some of the speakers include Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. Frank Turek, our own Miki Addison, Bishop E.W. Jackson, other great speakers. Hope that you can come and be a part of this important conference. For more information and to register, go to marriagefamilylife.net. Again, that's marriagefamilylife.net. Again, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession, and thank you for tuning in to American Family Radio. We ask that you'd pray for the ministry of American Family Radio. We very much desire and need your prayers, and we appreciate your prayers specifically for this broadcast as well, the Hour of Intercession. One of our goals is to encourage you to become the prayer warrior God would have you to be. There's such a need in the body of Christ for believers to become mighty prayer warriors who accomplish great work in their prayer closets each and every day. And as we live our lives full and given to prayer. We invite you to look with us today in the book of Ruth. And you know, the book of Ruth is a short book, but it's a powerful book. It's a love story, amongst other things, but it's a powerful, powerful book with some wonderful messages and insights. So as we begin our time today, we're beginning by reading through Ruth chapter 1 to begin with here. Ruth chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the country, to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Verses 1 through 22, Ruth chapter 1. Again, we're looking today at the book of Ruth, and specifically, we're focusing on a topic as one of the themes from the book of Ruth is our decisions help determine our destiny. Again, we're looking at the topic, our decisions help determine our destiny. You know, again, the book of Ruth is a short book. It's one of only two books found in the Bible named after women, but it's a powerful book with some powerful insights. Remember, it's a true story. It's also a love story, but also it's a story with many messages within the message of the story itself. It's a wonderful book to spend time reading and meditating on because there are truths and insights that are sort of unique to the Hebrew culture, but at the same time with important truths that help us better understand God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who brought redeeming love to our lives and transformed us because of the love He took and initiated to save us and make us brand new as well. The opening line of the book of Ruth is a snapshot of Israel's history during the time of the judges. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." The book of Ruth is found within the context of the time of the judges, and that was a very dark time in the history of Israel. Well, specifically, this was a time of famine, and of course, A time of famine is a time of a lean time for the children of Israel at that time. And so Elimelech, a man, and of course his name, Elimelech means my God is king. And his wife's name is Naomi. And his son's names were Chilion and Mahlon. Well, Elimelech, it appears, decides to pack up and move from Bethlehem, Judah. And again, Bethlehem means house of bread. And Judah prays. And so they were living in the house of bread in the land of praise, but they chose to leave the house of bread in the land of praise and move to Moab, a cursed land, a land where the people were in rebellion against God, a land that was a cursed land in a number of different ways. Well, sadly, after Elimelech and his family have moved to Moab, not too long afterwards, Elimelech dies in the land of Moab. Well, Elimelech's wife, Naomi, is still living, and her two sons, and they take wives of women in the country of Moab. But then, not too long after that, Mahlon and Chilion also die. So now we have left here Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, all three of which are widows. And keep in mind, in that day and time, widows depended on depended on the men in their lives to take care of them. And of course, obviously, after having lost their husbands, they were in a tough situation. And so Naomi decides that she's going to go back to her home country, Bethlehem, Judah. And so keep in mind, having been in Moab, Moab was a cursed land, and she found difficulty, trouble, and great loss in the country of Moab. And so it was a cursed land, and also spiritually, she found great trouble there. So she decides to go back home. And in her going back home, it was symbolic of recommitting her heart and her life to the Lord as well. And so they prepare to go back. And so Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws head back to Bethlehem, Judah. But sadly, Naomi encourages her daughter-in-laws to go back. What she should have done was she should have said, yes, you all, come go with me back to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the land of praise. Come and go back, and I want you to fully come to know and commit your hearts and lives to my God and live for my God, because our God is the true God. I hope you'll come and go with us. But sadly, that's not what happened. Sadly, Naomi is in a backslidden state in such a way that she encourages them to go back to Moab, the cursed land of Moab. Sadly, Orpah does what her mother-in-law encourages her to do. She goes back to Moab. But Ruth has come to put her faith and trust in the God of Israel, and she's decided that she's going to love and be committed to her mother-in-law. So in spite of Naomi's insistence, Ruth decides, I'm going with you. I'm going to serve your God, and I'm going to serve you as well. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to be able to, when we find ourselves in places where we shouldn't be, to be able to repent, to seek your forgiveness, to ask you to forgive us, and to recommit our hearts and our lives to you, and to replace our lives and our hearts fully in your hands. Thank you for the fact that you're a merciful God, who you're the God of second and third and many, many chances. Help us to be wise enough to repent when we find ourselves in places we shouldn't be in and recommit our lives to you. Help us to live for you, and help us to live in such a way that we encourage others who find themselves in wrong places or in wicked places to turn from their wrong and to commit or recommit their lives to you as well. Thank you for the chance to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship each and every day. Stir us to be more and more faithful in this area. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're looking today at the book of Ruth. We'll be right back. Music of Covenant Church, Let My Heart Dance. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the book of Ruth, and we've read through chapter 1, and we'll, before we get into chapter 2, I want to remind you once again, the book of Ruth is a cameo story of love, devotion, and redemption set in the dark context of the days of the judges, a dark time in the history of the nation of Israel, but a beautiful story set in the midst of that time, a story that reminds us about God's grace, his faithfulness, and his love for his people, even in their unfaithfulness. As we shared in the first segment, Ruth and Naomi have come back from Moab to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And keep in mind that this, the land of Bethlehem, Judah, of course, is the place of the people of God and the grace of God as well. So they're coming back to Bethlehem, Judah, is a time of basically more or less recommitting their hearts and their lives to the Lord. Ruth, of course, has come to put her faith and trust in the God of Israel. And God's grace begins to pour mightily into the life and upon the life of both Ruth and Naomi as well. So we pick up now in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from them what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother, and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young women, excuse me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Verses 1 through 23, all of Ruth chapter 2. Again, we're looking today at the book of Ruth, and we're looking specifically at the topic of our decisions help determine our destiny. Well, of course, chapter 1 opens with the fact that Elimelech takes his family and moves to the land of Moab. He makes the decision deliberately to move his land from Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the land of praise, to a cursed land. He makes that decision, and after making that sad decision, it ends with death. He dies in the land of Moab. Well, Naomi is left with her two sons, and they marry Moabite women, but they don't decide to go back right away either, and her two sons also die in the cursed land of Moab. So again, their decision to remain there again ended in tragedy further for her sons as well. But Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth decide to go back to Bethlehem, a very important decision. Remember, all of us, every day we make many, many decisions, but the wisest and best kind of decision for us to make daily is to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. In other words, seek the will of God. When we decide to seek God's will, it brings blessing to every area of our lives. We're here to do the work of the will of God, and it's what we're called to do daily, to decide to go after what God wants us to do, what He's calling us to do. Naomi and Ruth wisely decide to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, and after arriving back there, Ruth, who loves the Lord now and loves her mother-in-law, graciously goes into the fields to take up the job that many poor people of that day carried out. It's called gleaning, where they could go into the fields and basically pick up the scraps after the reapers. And this is how poor people, it was kind of a welfare system of that day. But Ruth was not too proud to do the job of a poor person because she knew she needed to take care of her mother-in-law as well as herself. But keep in mind, because Ruth and Naomi have come back to Bethlehem, Judah, again, they have symbolically committed or recommitted their lives to the Lord by coming back to Bethlehem, Judah, and the grace of God begins to pour into their lives to bless them. Well, Ruth has gone into the fields to begin to glean, but the owner of the fields, Boaz, a mighty man of valor, and Boaz, his name means, in him is strength. He was a man that loved God, he was rich, he owned the fields, he was the landowner, and a farmer of great wealth of that day. He comes, and of all the people who catch his attention, Ruth catches his attention. Now, why is that true? Well, keep in mind, Ruth has begun to seek first the kingdom of God. She's begun to seek God, to seek doing things God's way. She's committed her life to the Lord, and she's committed to taking care of her mother-in-law as well. But remember, when you begin to run after God, when you begin to do things follow God and seek to obey and live for the Lord, God's grace begins to pour into your life in greater measure. God's grace and favor begin to pour into your life. Well, the favor and the grace of God has begun to pour into Ruth's life, and Boaz takes notice of Ruth. Now, there are many women in the field, but Ruth catches Boaz's eye. Boaz knows about Ruth, and he shows great kindness to her in chapter 2. In fact, it seems that he goes out of his way to show kindness to Ruth. Part of it is because he recognized that Ruth has left her land and her people and has come to know and serve the God of Israel and to come to serve and love her mother-in-law. And Boaz appreciates the fact that she's shown great devotion to God and her mother-in-law as well. And Ruth begins to be blessed, greatly blessed. Now we pick up here now with chapter 3 of Ruth, beginning at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Verses 1 through 18, that's correct. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the book of Ruth. You know, chapter 3 is a powerful and an interesting chapter as well. You know, one might could give a title to chapter 3, a title that says, "How to Get a Husband." Well, here you find, in a very unique way, Ruth, at the guidance and counsel of her mother-in-law, approaches Boaz and basically, more or less in a unique way, proposes, and at the same time is asking him to take the place of, the term is kinsman redeemer, and this is a very important term in the book of Ruth. It's someone who's able to redeem a family's land and their possessions that has been lost over a period of time. Well, Ruth basically asks him to do the part of a kinsman redeemer, and at the same time asks him to marry her as well. Well, now, keep in mind, one might think, well, that seems very forward of Ruth. Well, Ruth is, again, she's seeking this. But now, keep in mind, a kinsman redeemer in a situation like this, he can say yes or he can say no. That's entirely up to him. But also, the kinsman redeemer has to be rich enough to be able to redeem, buy land back as well. And so if he's rich enough to do it and he's willing to do it, then again, certainly that's his choice. Well, of course, if you know the story, Boaz has indicated he's willing, but Boaz explains that there's a kinsman redeemer closer than he, and so he has to approach him and give him the opportunity before Boaz can take Ruth up on her proposal. And so on the other side of the break, we'll pick up with chapter 4, but keep in mind, it's a powerful chapter, and Boaz represents, amongst other things, he represents Jesus Christ symbolically in this book. He's the kinsman redeemer who loves us enough to be willing to redeem us, both spiritually and otherwise, and be the Savior that we need. We'll pick up again on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the book of Ruth, and we're focusing on the topic, our decisions help determine our destiny. We'll be right back.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affection are for me. Oh, how he loves, yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion and he is our prize, drawn redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're
all saved. Music of David Crowder, How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the book of Ruth and looking at the topic of our decisions help determine our destiny. And we've seen how so far in the book of Ruth we see in the opening chapter, we see where Elimelech makes the tragic decision of deciding to leave the house of bread, Bethlehem, in the land of praise, to go to a cursed land, the nation of Moab, and found tragedy there. He died, and then his two sons died there as well. His decision to leave the place of blessing, moving to a cursed land, ended in tragedy. Well, again, on the other hand, we see the decision of Ruth and Naomi to go back to the land of blessing, back to Bethlehem, Judah, and it began to cause grace and blessing to pour into their lives in a wonderful way as well. And so we pick up now in chapter 4, after Ruth has basically proposed to Boaz and asked him to become their kinsman redeemer. And Boaz is very willing, but he has to give the closer kinsman redeemer the opportunity, the first opportunity, to take that place. So we pick up with Ruth chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. End of Ruth chapter 4. So as we look in the final chapter of the book of Ruth, we see a wonderful and a powerful ending to a very powerful story. Again, keep in mind, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, is very willing to marry Ruth and redeem the land, but he gives first opportunity to the closer kinsman redeemer. Now remember, the word kinsman redeemer is unique to the story of the book of Ruth. It's a term unique to the story in the book of Ruth. And it basically means one who redeems. By buying back the land of Naomi, as well as marrying Ruth and fathering a son to keep the family line alive, Boaz acts as a redeemer. And keep in mind, the concept of kinsman redeemer, as found in the book of Ruth, is an important portrayal and picture of who Jesus Christ is to you and I. Keep in mind, the kinsman redeemer, first he had to be related by blood to the persons he's redeeming. Then he also had to be able to pay the price of redemption. In other words, if he was a kinsman redeemer, but he was poor and didn't have the money, then he couldn't redeem because it took money to do it. And then Thirdly, he had to be willing to redeem. Keep in mind, the kinsman redeemer that Boaz met and talked with, he was able to redeem the land, but he did not want to marry Ruth. Well, of course, as you can see in chapter 4, Boaz, it appears, basically, he wants to marry Ruth. Now, he's able to redeem the land, and he's willing to do it, but his priority is marrying Ruth. And so he marries Ruth, and he redeems the land as well. So he's both an able kinsman redeemer, and he's a willing kinsman redeemer. Remember, the kinsman redeemer did not have to do it. It was his choice. But Boaz was willing to redeem both Ruth and the land, and he was able to redeem as well. And keep in mind, the kinsman redeemer, fourthly, had to be free himself. Now, keep in mind, Christ was free from the curse of sin. And so the word kinsman redeemer is used 13 times in the short book of Ruth, and it presents a clear picture of the mediating work of Jesus Christ in our lives as well. So Boaz marries Ruth, and keep in mind what a powerful redeeming story and picture and story of the redemption and the redeeming work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Keep in mind, at the beginning of the story, Ruth is a poor woman who goes into the fields to glean, and of course it's an honorable task, but it's the task of poor people. By the end of the story, remember, Ruth, who was gleaning in the fields as a poor person, now by the grace of God, she owns the fields because she's now married to the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, who was rich and able and willing to marry her as well. And remember, the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, represents what Jesus Christ, who he is and what he does in our lives. He redeems us out of the poverty of sin, makes us brand new, and sets us in the family of God, and gives us a place of royalty and grace within his household. What a wonderful picture the book of Ruth is about the redeeming love of Jesus Christ, as well as a wonderful story of how God works in the individual lives of believers and pulls us out of the difficulty and the mess and the difficulty and the problems of life. And he takes the mess of our lives and makes it into a masterpiece of a wonderful story that only God could write. Well, let me say this too. Another powerful truth found in the book of Ruth is it's a wonderful illustration of the truth that tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Keep in mind, Ruth forsook her land and her people to go serve the God of Israel as well as to serve her mother-in-law. So she sought first God's kingdom. She began to serve God. She turned from her life of curse and trouble, and she put her faith and trust in God. She sought first the kingdom of God, and see how God lifted her from being a poor person gleaning in the fields to where she marries a rich man who is able to redeem her and her family. And now she owns the fields she initially was gleaning in. And in addition to that, God places her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. Keep in mind, Ruth is also the great-grandmother of King David, as well as a great-great-great grandmother to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a wonderful story, a powerful story of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. Ruth chose, she made the decision to put her faith and trust in God and to love God, and she made the decision to love her mother-in-law, and it brought great blessing, great grace, great favor into her life. How important it is that you and I seek to live lives that way as well, lives where we seek first God's kingdom and its righteousness, that all these things would be added to us. Thank you, Lord, for every person listening to the broadcast today. Thank you, Lord, for those persons that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Thank you for those persons who are in a position where they may not be spiritually where they need to be, persons who may be in a position where they're needing to recommit their hearts and their lives to you, Lord. Thank you for those persons that just need to draw closer to you as well. Touch every listener, Lord. Help us all to repent a wrong we've done against you. Help us to seek your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, help us all to fully commit and recommit our lives to you, knowing that we are to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us. Help us to know, Lord, that life is lived as we come to know you and run after you. Help us, like Ruth, to fully give ourselves to you, and receive the blessing that comes from following you and living a life committed to you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful story of the book of Ruth. I pray that you move upon every believer, every listener, to spend time reading and meditating on the book of Ruth and to learn and draw from the truths and insights from that book that will bless and encourage them too to seek first God's kingdom and its righteousness so that all these things would be added to them as well. We thank you. We praise you for the wonderful gift, the wonderful book of Ruth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, my encouragement to you is take time to go back and read and meditate on the book of Ruth. And once you've read it through once or twice, read it again and again and again, because the Holy Spirit has insights and truths he wants to teach you to live out in your life that will bless you, that will empower you, and that will help lift you up in your life, that you too will be one who lives a wonderful love story like that story, a grace story, a blessing story, a story of redeeming love that will glorify the Lord and point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. My email is jparker@afa.net. Once again, we want to remind and encourage you. If you'd like to email us to get some of the prayer tools or some of the discipleship tools that we share, please do email us, because we're glad to share them. And our encouragement to you is get them so that you can use them in your life, use them as tools to help disciple your family, but also they're tools you can share with others. Please do forward them and share them with others, both by way of email and hard copies, because we're all a part of seeking first God's kingdom and its righteousness. Is all of us are to be involved in the work of sharing the gospel, and all of us are to be involved in the work of discipling others. And sharing these prayer tools and these discipleship tools is one way to help disciple and encourage others in their walk with the Lord as well. As always, we appreciate you listening and being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.